a stream and bruised by the rocks under which it lay partly wedged. It was just possible to ascertain that he had not died from drowning, but had been expertly strangled by something strong and thin, such as a harp string. As for the dark man, by then he was long gone from Dunad, headed back across the border out of the Gaelic territory of Dalriada and into the lands of King Bride of the Brittany. The bag of silver he had received from his Dalriadan masters had been hidden away. There would be another payment when he got to Bride's fortress at White Hill. Considerable wealth now lay in his secret place, a resource he would surely never use, since he had neither wife nor children, brother nor sister to spend it on. At least none he was prepared to acknowledge, even to himself. He travelled with the speed and efficiency of a man who does not allow anything to distract him from his goal. It was unfortunate that his contact had required removal, but not unexpected. Pidar had not been stupid, and Phelan had known he would start to ferret out the truth about his own close relationship with Bride eventually. He'd let his informant live until the danger of exposure was no longer outweighed by the value of what Pidar was able to supply. It was necessary that his Dalriadan masters believe Phelan entirely loyal to their cause. One must hope Pidar had kept faith with the delicate codes of covert intelligence, and had not shared his suspicions with anyone. At any rate, Phelan would need to stay clear of Dunad a while, just to be sure. Perhaps Bride would dispatch him to serve with Carnac's fighting men, preparing for the great war to come. Perhaps he might be assigned to Raven's Well, where another army readied itself for the final push westward into Dalriada. A little honest fighting would not be unwelcome. He had been dancing on the fringes of king's courts for too long now, and was growing weary of masks. Ah, well. Good speed, clement weather, and he should be back at White Hill before the moon reached full again. Perhaps, Phelan mused as he made his way up the track by the lake's edge, heading northeastward under the clear skies of a crisp spring day, he might simply return to his old role as personal guard. In the 5 years since Bride was elected to the throne in somewhat unusual circumstances, nobody had got close enough to lay a finger on him or his wife. Phelan had made sure of that. Whenever he went away, he installed an infallible system of deputies to cover the period of his absence. All the same, nothing was quite as effective as his own presence by Bride's side. He found, to his surprise, that this felt almost like going home. Anna had been a hostage at the court of Fortriu since she was 10 and a half. After 8 years, she recognized that what had once seemed a kind of prison, albeit one where the captive ate at the king's table and slept in fine linen and soft wool, had become more like a home. When Bride built his new fortress at White Hill and moved the court of Fortriu, Anna moved with the rest of them. Bride's wife, Tuala, was one of her closest friends. That, thought Anna, as she guided the tiny tottering figure of the king's son, Derele, across the sheltered garden that lay within the fortress walls, presented a problem for Bride. The whole point of taking hostages was leverage against their kinsfolk. She was here as surety against a possible revolt by her cousin, who was monarch of the Light Isles and a vassal king to Bride. In those 8 years, there had been no sign of unrest in her home islands, so it seemed her captivity had had the desired effect. On the other hand, there had been little interest shown by those at home in her welfare. Her family seemed to have forgotten her. These days it was White Hill that felt like home, and she could not imagine Bride hurting her in any way, should her kinsman suddenly take against him. "Oops!" Anna exclaimed as Derelay's infant knees gave way and he collapsed abruptly onto his well-padded posterior. He looked momentarily surprised, seemed to ponder whether crying might be in order, then reached his arms toward her, offering a sound that meant up. "Come on, then." Anna lifted the child to her hip. He was small for his age, and had something of his mother's fey looks, the skin pale as milk, the eyes wide and solemn. His hair was Bride's, brown as a nut and already curling tightly. Who would have thought it, back in the Ban Meron days, when they were students together? Tuala was married and a mother, and Anna was still here in Fortriu, unwed. Carrying the royal blood of